I want to go back this morning. Last two times we've met and talked, I've talked about the body of Christ. And I want to go back and just talk some more, because I believe and with all my heart that this is what God is doing in this hour. This journey with God, this walk that we have with God, is one that is fulfilled through a personal relationship with God. And not only that, but it's also fulfilled with a personal relationship in the body of Christ. The teachings of Jesus, when we look at them, they're so simple. But man has complicated them so much that they're so simple that they're so easy to look over. Jesus, with the woman taken in adultery, had an excellent opportunity to give us a lesson in condemnation and judgment at that time. If he had chose to, he could have spent a long time telling her how wrong it was to be taken in adultery. But Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." You know, his teachings were simple. And we as the body of Christ, God has brought us out of sin consciousness, out of judgment, and out of condemnation. But you know, even where we are in this present walk with God, there are many that still are walking with that kind of attitude. You know, you're not like I am, or you don't believe exactly like I believe. So they feel like they have the right to judge and condemn. But we need to realize that we're all a part of the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4 and verse 3, Paul, speaking to the church at Ephesus, said, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith in the bond of peace." That word "endeavoring" means to make an effort, to do diligent or be diligent, or to labor. So, you know, it takes some effort. It's everybody you meet, you don't always just click with them. And every personality is different. We have to allow the love of God to flow through us. We need to always remember that Paul said you are purchased or bought with the price, with the blood of Christ. You're not your own. You and I are the dwelling place of the Almighty God. And in this hour, when we are expecting and looking for the manifestation of the sons of God, need to ever be conscious that the journey we're on is a journey out from God, processed through God, and back into God. That we're not our own. We say, "Well, I've got my rights." You know, maybe you do have rights, but God takes preeminent over all that we are. And His love is unconditional. So endeavoring to keep the unity, working at keeping the unity of the Spirit. And he says there's one God and one Father of us all, who is above all, sovereign over all, prevailing over all, and living in us all. Think of that. One God and one Father. And we've said in the last two times that there's not one God that is Baptist and another God that's Pentecostal, or another God that's New Age, or another God that's Muslim or Muhammad or Buddha or any of the foreign religions or metaphysical religions or whatever there may be. There's only one God. I don't care who you are. If you're worshiping God, you're worshiping one God. And if you are worshiping and living as a child of God, you are a member of that one body of Christ. That in Romans 8, where it tells us that we wait for the manifestation of the Son of God, not the sons as it does says in the King James and a lot of the other, but you go back and look at the Greek, it is singular, the Son of God. There's one Son that is being birthed in the earth in this hour. Not many. One Son, and the only head of that Son is Jesus Christ. And that Son is going to flow in unison and unity together, speaking the Word of God into the earth. So, God is molding us not only individually, because it is the beginning, or first of all, an individual journey and an individual work that God's doing in us. But then God is molding us together as a unit, as a body. That's why His teachings are there. That's why Jesus said, the two laws I give you is love God and love one another. That was it. Man's taken those and added umpteen thousands to them or whatever, and every denomination has their own laws. And, you know, if you're not going to church, then you've backslid. You know, it's all built on judgment and condemnation. And that's not right. That's not the way it is. We are now the sons of God. And it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. Or as we behold Him, we are changed into the same image. So if you're changed in the same image, you're changed in the same nature that God is. Metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is the thinking, the understanding, the reasoning that's within you. And that can only be changed by the Word of God. As we're changed or metamorphosed into His image. And then in verse 4, verse 11 says that He gave gifts unto men. Verily, He Himself pointed and gave unto us, men to us, some apostles, and goes on and lists each one of them. But in verse 12, He says why He gave them. He gave those ministries for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. You know, We went to church for years, and I preached it myself, the rapture, and how that Jesus was coming for a people without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You know, a people that was walking in His will at that time. Well, you know, it's so easy to overlook the simple things that Jesus taught. These ministries here were not given to the world. They were given to the body of Christ, and they were given for the specific reason of perfecting the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And they were given till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, that's why it was given. Why are we here? To come to the full stature, the full measure, the image of God Himself. That's the journey. And in verse 16, He says, for whom the whole body, that's the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and fitly knit together by the joints and ligaments which it is supplied, each part with power adapted to his needs, is working properly in all of its functions to grow up into full maturity, building itself up in love. You see, we grow by that which every joint supplies. What was the first verse we read? When we gather together, everyone hath a word or hath a revelation. You know, what each one supplies. We must begin to minister out of that spirit realm. It is the same spirit that filled Jesus when he was baptized. It is the same spirit that filled the 120 on the day of Pentecost. And we must begin to walk in the revelation that we have and speak out of that revelation. That God is manifesting in a people in this hour. He is being incarnate in a people. God has a people in this hour that are hearing his word and that are beginning to walk in that word. You know, the thing of it is, we have so many excuses. I'm not being called to preach. So what? That same spirit resides in each one of us. You know, the greatest teacher of all is in residence in us. I just see in my spirit that this is a day when we as God's children are bonding together in a unit of oneness. The day of criticism, the day of condemnation, the day of judgment, the day of expecting everyone to be come out of the same cookie cutter is over with. You know, the foundational truth is that we have been birthed into the kingdom of God, awakened from slumbering and sleeping by the Spirit of God, called to be sons in this hour. That's the important thing. And to realize that God is working in each one of us differently. There's not going to be any cookie cutter. Paul talks about the body of Christ, that one's an eye and a mouth and an arm, just as the natural body is made up of many members, that this body of Christ is made up of many members. And you do not destroy or cut off any one member just because you don't like it or because it's paining you or something's wrong. You nurture it until it's healed. And that is the same way that it is with the body of Christ. That God's body is one. You know, you say, oh, that's such a simple message. Well, look up and down the roads and see how simple that message is received. Look at the churches that have divided and built new ones right down the road, the same denomination, because they could not get along together. And even in this world we walk, and I'm going to say something, you know, you may not agree with, become critical because someone may be walking or beginning to walk in what we call New Age, or walking in a teaching that maybe we don't see at the time. You know, that is, in my heart and my mind, irrelevant. The fact of the matter is that God has birthed the people in the earth that he is working through in this hour, that he is bringing forth in this hour, that he is teaching and ministering to, and that our relationship personally with him is growing and being manifested. And when that day of manifestation comes, he's going to take every part of this body all over the earth, and it's going to be manifested as one body with Christ as the head. And everything's going to flow together in that hour. How God gets all these individuals to that day of manifestation is no business of mine. I am commanded to love God and to love one another. And out of that realm of loving God and one another, we began to minister. Got news for you. The King is in residence in His temple. The King is in residence in His temple. Not only is He in residence, but God the Holy Spirit, the divine teacher, is in residence in His temple. The Bible tells us that you need no man to teach you, that I will teach you all things. The Old Testament says to be not as a mule with bit and bridle, but He said, I will guide you with mine eye. You know, and Jesus said that when I go away, I will send the Comforter. And when He has come, He will teach you all things. So where are we looking? Are we looking to that man that sits in, or that woman that sits in front of us and teach for our spiritual growth? Are we looking to some denomination or some group for that spiritual growth? Or are we looking within through the reality of the God that dwells within us, that takes the words that are spoken in our hearing and makes them spirit and life within us, that brings the change? Beloved, I'm telling you that the day is now when the children of God in this earth, who God has placed His hand upon and called in this hour to be a part and to hear the words of present truth, to come aside and individually, personally get in contact with the God that they walk with. To allow Him to speak and to minister in each and every life. This day is now. God's going to manifest a body. And I don't think it's going to be very, very long. And that body is going to flow and function as one. There are not going to be any lone rangers out here in the earth at that time. But we are going to function and flow as one in the Spirit, with Jesus as the head of that body. So God the Father, the I Am, is at residence in His temple in this hour. He lives, He dwells in us, and we live and move and have our being in Him. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. He is the creator of all things. He is the all-powerful. He is the all-knowing. He is the everywhere present God. Hallelujah. And He is at residence in His temple in this hour. Now, in the now, right now, God dwells within every one of His children. He is in us, living and moving in us, incarnate in us, to be manifested and expressed out to the earth. The earth may be looking for a natural man to come on the clouds of glory. But listen, the earth is going to get a people who have been manifested as the Son of God in the earth, ministering the Word of God. The greatest teacher is at residence in His temple right now, individually. And there is no excuse. You know, when Moses saw the burning bush, and he said, I will turn aside and see what is going on. And God said, I'm going to send you back to Egypt. Moses says, I can't speak. You know, what did God do? God gave him Aaron. But there is no Aaron in this hour. There is the individual Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in each one of us. He is the teacher of all teachers. And the Word tells us that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, feeding the thirsty of this world to drink at. We are beginning to speak out of that which God has placed within us. And as we begin to speak, God will input more of His revelation, more of his revelation. Beloved, you know something? The fact of the matter is, and I've said this before, that there was a day that I was looking for God to zap us. You know, God, this thing was going to be a great and glorious time of God zapping His people. But you know something? The fact of the matter is that man is a spiritual being that came out from God, that is being processed through God, that will return to God. And the natural reality of the real person who we are is a spiritual being. We are first and foremost spirit. We are a spirit man. Then we have a body that spirit dwells in. And we have a soul. But first of all, we are spirit. So that's the natural of who we are. It's natural for us to think on and to walk in the things of the Spirit. It's natural for us. It's unnatural for us to walk in this earth. But God's calling a people away from. Jesus said, Father, they're in the world, but they're not of the world. I don't pray that you take them out, but that you keep them from. And see, that world is the concept, the thoughts, patterns, the actions, the way the world works. You're not of that. Your citizenship is in heaven, where God is, where He's dwelling within us. We're in this world, but we're citizens of another world. And God is our Father, our Lord. He's the one that teaches us. He's the one that brings us into growth, into understanding, into a revelation. And His words become spirit and becomes life. And therefore we need to take the things that we hear and meditate on them and think on them and ponder on them. That's what He told Joshua, to meditate on My words. You know, to think on that, to meditate on what He says, to allow that word to become spirit within us. Because as we said before, that where God is walking through this land, and every place that He plants His foot is His for eternity. Every part of us that is changed by the Word of God will never revert back to what it was before. That individual part of our mind becomes a part of God. Beloved, He's changing our thinking, our understanding, the way we look at things. And it all begins with love God and love one another. The King is at residence in His temple. The power of the Holy Spirit is at residence in His temple. The teacher of all teachers is at residence in His temple. And what we began to do is share out of where we are. And as we begin to share out of where we are, God begins to broaden the revelation and the understanding that we have. And that's why Paul said, when you gather together, one has a word and one has a psalm, one has a revelation. And then in Ephesians, he says that which each joint supplies. So not only do I need God, but I need one another. The body of Christ is important to me and to each one of us. Because we need what each other is supplying. A lot of times it's not a spoken word. A lot of time it's just being in the presence of those that believe like we believe. But draw nigh unto God. Take time to meditate and to think upon His words. He said, they that walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the Spirit and flesh. Walk in the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk by not by sight, but by faith. See, no condemnation. Walking in the Spirit. And that's not some super religious thing. That's being naturally who we are. God's going to manifest in a people. This world is going to see Him in a people. And we are that people. Thank God that His Word is coming to us in this hour. That is telling us to turn aside, to get into His presence, to allow Him to minister in and through us. No matter how simple it may be just exactly what someone else needs at that point of time. How we praise Him and thank Him. Amen.